This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans. I'm Michelle Bazzi, and welcome to this policy briefing.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Bob Greenstein. As you know, in every recession, poverty rises, and the deeper the recession, the greater the increase. The resulting rise in poverty not only increases hardship, but also deepens the economic downturn. People at the bottom of the income scale spend nearly all of what they have, so when poverty rises and income falls, this translates into a reduction in purchasing power. There's particular concern now about all of this because this recession is very likely to be the most severe in at least a quarter century. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities today is releasing a major analysis of these issues with estimates of how much poverty will rise in the coming recession. The report's author, Sharon Parrott, was going to provide today's presentation on this call, but unfortunately overnight she has come down sick, and you'll have to settle for me, but I will be presenting the results of Sharon's paper, which is now up on the Center's website. And in doing so, I'm going to talk about four things. First, how much poverty rises during recessions. Second, our estimates of how much poverty may rise in this recession. Third, the fact that the safety net for the very poorest families and individuals is significantly weaker today than it was during the last major recession. And fourth and finally, that there are some steps the federal government can take to ameliorate the harshest impacts of this recession, steps that, on a dollar-for-dollar basis, also would be among the most effective stimulus measures the government could take, and hence are strong candidates for inclusion in a stimulus package. So the first point, the historical record. In the recession of the early 80s, the number of people living in poverty rose by 9.2 million, an increase of more than a third. The recession of the 90s wasn't as deep. Even so, the number of people in poverty rose by 6.5 million. So there are significant rises in poverty when recessions occur. Which takes us to our second point. What will happen in this recession? Now, we have a starting point of 36.5 million Americans having lived in poverty in 2006, a number that will go up considerably. To estimate how much, we looked at each of the last three recessions, and we measured how much the poverty rate increased in each of those recessions in relation to the increase in the unemployment rate. In other words, for each 1 percentage point increase in unemployment, how much did poverty go up? On Friday, Goldman Sachs issued a new forecast for where the economy is going based on the latest data. Its forecast is that the unemployment rate will rise to 9% in the fourth quarter of 2009. We've used that forecast as the basis for the estimates I'm about to share with you. Our paper also provides alternative estimates for the increase in poverty if unemployment goes up somewhat less and peaks at 8% or at 8.5%. Now, let me also note that poverty did not go up the exact same amount in relation to the increase in unemployment in each of the last three recessions, so the figures I'm going to give you fall into a range, and the range reflects the variation in the relationship between poverty and unemployment in the most recent three recessions. So here are the results. With unemployment projected to reach 9%, the number of people in poverty will rise by between 7.5 and 10.3 million. The number of poor children will increase by between 2.6 and 3.3 million. We also looked at increases in deep poverty. This means living below half of the poverty line. That would be below about $8,300 a year for a family of three. In 2006, a little over 15 million Americans lived below half of the poverty line. We project the number of people living in deep poverty will rise by between 4.5 and 6.3 million, and the number of children living in deep poverty will rise by between 1.5 and 2 million. Recent data show that poverty is already rising quite substantially. I'm referring to recent data from the food stamp program. Historically, there's a close relationship between the number of people receiving food stamps and the number living in poverty. And because food stamp caseload data are available long before the annual census poverty data are released, rising food stamp caseloads serve as a strong early warning sign that poverty and hardship are climbing and food stamp caseloads are up sharply over the past year. Point number three, the safety net. Unfortunately, the figures that I've just given you, which are based on the experience in the last three recessions, may prove to be too sanguine. The increases, especially in deep poverty, could be larger. The reason is that the safety net for the poorest individuals and families is weaker today than it was in the previous large or major recessions. Now, to be sure, the safety net for low-income working families with children is stronger today than it was in the 80s or early 90s due to significant expansions in the Earned Income Tax Credit and some other programs. But the safety net for the very poorest families and individuals, those who were jobless much or all of the year, has grown considerably weaker. Here, three things have occurred. First, unemployment insurance. Fewer than 40% of Americans who are unemployed now get it. Large cuts in the unemployment insurance program were enacted in the early 80s. Many low-wage workers who are laid off and are looking for jobs aren't eligible and don't get any unemployment benefits. Second, in the early 90s, about 80% of poor families with children that met the eligibility criteria for the Aid to Families with Dependent Children program, the basic cash aid program for poor families with children at that time, received cash aid through it. Today, for a number of reasons, including federal policies that provide strong incentives for states to cut caseloads, even in recessions, only about 40% of the poor families with children eligible for cash aid through the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program get it. And the third development in the safety net front involves adults who are out of work and are not raising children. For them, the situation is especially stark. Most states used to have what were known as general assistance or general relief programs, which were the safety net of last resort for these individuals. But in the late 80s and early 90s, nearly all states eliminated those programs. In addition, as a result of federal legislation enacted in 96, in most parts of the country, these people can only get food stamps for 3 months while out of work in any three-year period. Now, census data confirm what I've just said. They show that the safety net does less to lift individuals and children out of deep poverty now than was the case in 1995. And coming state budget cuts as a result of the recession will make the safety net weaker still. As a result, there is a strong potential for more hardship and destitution than we have seen in this country in a number of decades. The fourth and final point is a more hopeful one. It is that despite this bleak picture, there are things policymakers can do to ameliorate the worst impacts of the recession on poverty and hardship. Providing assistance to those hardest hit would be sound policy for two reasons. First, helping struggling families is among the best, the most effective stimulus measures that can be taken on a dollar-for-dollar basis, because it gets resources into the hands of people who are most likely to quickly spend virtually all of those resources rather than to save them. And secondly, doing this reduces hardship and instability for the poorest Americans, and in particular for very poor children who are the workforce of the future. So what policies could make a difference? First, fiscal relief to states. One of the most important things to do from a macroeconomic or a stimulative standpoint, because it helps states avert budget cuts and tax increases that further weaken the economy, but also critical from a poverty standpoint. We at the Center on Budget now estimate, based on state revenue and budget projections and state tax collection data, that the cumulative deficits states may face for the next 2.5 years, the remainder of the current state fiscal year through June 30th, and the two fiscal years after that, that the cumulative deficits over 2.5 years are likely to total between $200 and $250 billion. Without substantial help from the federal government, states will have to close these gaps by raising taxes or cutting services. Every state in the country must balance their budgets even during recessions. And we're looking at cuts in virtually everything from child care to homeless services, to services for the homebound elderly and others. And the poor are likely to be among those hardest hit. Secondly, policymakers can improve unemployment benefits. And I would particularly note here, bipartisan legislation the House has passed that would provide incentives for states to extend unemployment benefits to more low-income workers who have been laid off and are looking for work. This legislation would implement some recommendations from a highly regarded live bipartisan blue ribbon panel on needed unemployment insurance reform from the mid-90s. That panel's recommendations have been ignored for the last dozen years. Third, a temporary increase in food stamp benefits. Fourth, providing more low-income families with rental assistance through the housing voucher program, which would be particularly helpful now that the foreclosure crisis is taking rental units off the market and forcing many low-income renters to find new places to live, and also, needless to say, important in helping to stem what could otherwise be a spike in homelessness. Fifth and finally, several low-income programs have contingency funds through which additional funds are supposed to flow to states when recessions occur and need rises. But given the expected depth and duration of the current downturn, these contingency funds are likely to run out of money in the months ahead and need sufficient resources to meet their intended purpose. In short, and I'm concluding here, we're facing a major downturn. Policymakers can take steps that would both make a stimulus package more effective at preserving jobs and at the same time help avert what likely will otherwise be the biggest increases in serious hardship, destitution, and depoverty that we've seen in our country in a long time.
Thank you for listening to this policy briefing from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You can follow us on Twitter at Center on Budget, find us on Facebook, or create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.